The General Madine arrived in an isolated system in the heart of one end of the gas cloud known as Thull's Shroud. Deep scans found no signs of any planets around the star. "Here's the system you brought us to," Huff said. "Now where's the stuff you brought us here for?" "Why are you asking me?" Valina asked. "Didn't you give us the coordinates?" "Hey, I was just following what the machine told me." "This is looking like a wild goose chase." Vresh interrupted their argument, leaning into the cockpit. He pointed at the sensors. "I've got an idea," Huff said. "Let's use the sensors to see if we can pick anything up." Vresh shook his head and returned to the back of the cockpit area where Elor Sundown was taking care of the wounded, which included Vresh, Duke, and the ex-Imperial officer, Lieutenant Wen. Vresh passed R5-D6 in the corridor, who was plugged into the ship's sensors to scan for any objects in the system. R5 found several cold stellar objects such as asteroids and comets, and then it found something large and metal. It was hard to detect because it was orbiting the star at a disturbingly close distance. It was trailed by pieces of wreckage that had fallen off the ship and were floating around the hulk. R5-D6 sent the information up to Huff and Valina in written form, and they asked if there was anything else the droid could tell about it. R5 attempted to scan further, but the target's proximity to the star caused a lot of interference. "We'll just have to check for ourselves," Huff said. "Strap in, everybody." Welcome to Star Wars, Age of Rebellion. This is an RPG Storytime presentation of a campaign played over several years utilizing all three Star Wars role-playing books by Fantasy Flight Games. This is a grand campaign where everything you hear was decided by players in an epic-scale role-playing and strategy game, then turned into this production that tells the story one chapter at a time with occasional explanations of game mechanics. The episodes are shorter than most gaming podcasts because each session is summarized in the form of a story much like an audiobook. It begins with a small band of agents played by a few role players. As the Rebel cell grows, more players are brought in to take on the roles of other operatives heading out on other missions and taking part in various battles. Every choice affects the direction of the story, both for the characters on the mission and for the overall story arc. And the ultimate fate of the Juvex and Senex sectors is up to them. Today we return to the group of Huff, Valina, and Vresh who have hijacked a transport bound for an Imperial planet that is conducting secret experiments. Last time, Valina and Elor found that they are Force-sensitive, and they saw visions of another place. They sent this shared vision into their astromech droid, who plugged the coordinates into the navicomputer, and they launched into hyperspace. Where they have wound up, none of them know. The pilot sat up suddenly straight in his seat. He had not noticed when the YT-2400 had entered their system, but now that it was nearing, he was alarmed. He had not been watching the sensors very carefully because no one was supposed to know anything was out here. This star wasn't on any maps. But there it was, a ship closing fast with who knew how many on board. He opened a private communication with his employer. "We've got company." The cloaked figure on board the giant space hulk took the message from his pilot with little surprise. He had felt the presence enter the system, and was annoyed that his work may be interrupted. "Monitor, Captain. I'll be finished momentarily." The General Madine approached the wreckage of the giant ship with caution. R5-D6 thought it had detected a small burst of energy coming from within, but it couldn't find it now. It was getting some interference with the blasts that were coming from their own ship. Duke and Pukvakok were on the General Madine's quad laser cannon, seeing who could shoot the most asteroids out of the way. Duke was screaming, "Yee-haw!" after every hit, and Pukvakok was announcing his own hits over the intercom. When at last they were past the debris, Valina told everyone to quit so they didn't hit any part of the large space hulk. Huff turned on the spotlight and drifted the General Madine across the side of the space hulk. It was about the size of a corvette. But upon running a search through the ship's computer, R5-D6 found that it matched the description of a consular-class space cruiser. These were intended for important representatives of the Old Republic, the Senate, or the Jedi Order. Ships of this sort hadn't flown since the Clone Wars more than 20 years earlier. It seemed as though this one had seen better days. Gaping holes revealed breached chambers and entire sections were ripped off near the stern. It had been beaten up pretty bad by the debris in the system, but there were still sections sealed off well enough that they could hold something worth finding inside. They located three working airlocks, two in the stern and one in the front. But one of them, they found, was already claimed by a ship that was docked onto the corvette. Its twin laser cannons had the drop on the General Madine, though Duke quickly shifted his quad laser turret to face the lone ship, should it open fire. "Hold your fire," Huff said, and he opened a channel to the other ship. "I'm Captain Huff Fassett of the General Maydeen. We didn't expect to find anyone out here. Who are you?" "This is Captain Rez Onifer of the Warrior's Prayer." "The Wayward Player?" "No, the Warrior's Prayer. And why are you here? This isn't exactly somewhere you would wind up accidentally." "I was hired to bring someone here. I'm just the space Uber. You'll have to talk to my boss." Huff maneuvered his ship to the opposite airlock and connected to the old consular vessel. They entered it to find they were in the bridge. The control console was long since destroyed. However, parts of it looked like it might work if it had power. Huff suggested that it might be worthwhile to learn where the ship had been, so he thought it would be a good idea for him to try to get it working, along with R5-D6. The pilot of the other vessel told them that his boss was further inside the consular ship, so they could go talk with him about why he was there. Valina and Aelor went to talk with his boss, since they figured they would probably also learn what had called them here in the first place as well. They brought Vresh along with them in case there was any trouble. The corridor was long and dark, with pieces of metal debris strewn all about over which they had to step. Long, burnt-out wires and tubes that now went nowhere fell limp along the ceiling and walls. Something terrible had happened to this ship, even before the asteroids had their way with it. A glow emanated from a wider room ahead, inside of which stood a cloaked figure whose face was shrouded in the darkness. He asked who they were, and Valina and Aelor stumbled over their words, as did Vresh, whose growls were confused and suspicious. They told the figure their names, and that they had been called here. Then they asked who he was, and why he was here. The man pulled back his hood to reveal his face. He was tall, muscular, but very young, just entering manhood. "My name is Jarn, and my business is my own," the man said. "Have you found anything interesting?" Valina asked. Just then, everyone heard a banging noise from inside the corridor they had just passed through. It didn't sound like pieces of the ship falling apart. It sounded much more deliberate and ominous. Everyone drew their guns, both in the fore and the aft of the ship. The hallway between them was so dark that no one could see what was there, but they could all hear the clanking of footsteps as they stomped across the floor. "I've got a bad feeling about this," Jarn said. The clanking was so loud that even Rez Onifer emerged from his ship into the bridge and looked down the hall along with Huff, who was taking a break from his repairs. Huff shined a light and it revealed a large metal basilisk that covered the entire hallway. It was a battle droid from many years ago, one whose sheer brute force could trample even the largest beasts. Screaming, Huff and Rez pulled their weapons and fired, but their shots merely sparked against the robot's armor. They began to back up to their various ships, but R5-D6 held steady, pumping power into the door, then closing it. The door slammed, almost completely shut, but it failed to close the last foot length at the bottom. The large droid smashed into the door, which buckled, and a metallic tendril reached under the door, trying to find the occupants that had shut it out. Huff and Rez fired at the tendrils, but they did little harm. The beast smashed against the door again. It was cracking. If it got through, it would crush them. They could make good their escape, but everyone else was further inside the ship and had nowhere else to go. Just as the two captains were trying to figure out what to do, blaster fire came from the other group further down the hall. They tried taking down the beast, but no one had enough firepower to even damage it. However, they did get its attention. The battle droid turned and charged them. They decided it was a good time to close the door as well. They had to do it manually. Vresh yanked open a wall panel, and Valina sliced into the controls. She was not able to electronically close the door because there was no power, but she did switch it to manual, and Aelor slammed the door shut, right onto the basilisk's claw. She had caused a small dent in it, but the creature had a literal foothold inside the door, and was slowly opening it. Vresh, Valina, and Aelor pushed at the door to keep it closed, but the basilisk's strength was too much for them. The door was edging open. Then Valina noticed that their new companion was gone. The cloaked figure had somehow slipped out of the room. She didn't know where, and she couldn't concern herself with that right now. The basilisk flew open the door. The women and the Wookiee pulled back, firing as quickly as they could, doing little damage to it. They were trapped. Then sparks appeared above and behind the monster. It reached, trying to claw at its back, but its limbs were not limber enough. The cloaked figure was holding on and yanking off panels from its hull. He managed to find a control center, and he fired into it. The beast came down with a heavy crash. Everyone sighed with relief. "You guys all right down there?" Huff called down to them. They signaled that they were okay. Then Valina and Aelor complimented Jarn on his skills. Jarn asked them why they were here. Velina and Elor looked at one another with questioning glances as to whether they should tell him. Then Velina, who could sense Jarn's motivations a little more clearly, said, "We're following the Force." "So am I," Jarn said, but he still did not reveal what he had found. Vresh suggested that they should look through the ship, then led by example. Elor and Velina followed, and though they found many ship parts and even a couple old items they could sell for a bit of money, they couldn't find anything that the map should lead them to. Jarn went to his pilot and told him to prepare to take off. Huff called Velina and told her that R5 had pulled the coordinates from the Consular's ship, the last place it had been before coming here. It seemed to be the only clue they would find on board this ship. Jarn stopped and looked at Huff. He was a tall, intimidating-looking man, but Huff didn't let it get to him. He just looked back as if to ask, "What?" "I might have something to offer you if you can tell me where this ship was before it came here." Velina and Elor entered the bridge while Vresh continued to look around. Jarn admitted he had not been honest with them, and he pulled a hand-sized disc from his pocket. "I found this in the Jedi training room where you found me."
"Jedi training room?"
"I thought it was just storage," Velina said.
Jarn told them, "I have studied the ancient Jedi since my childhood. I followed their practices and their methods, and I hope to follow in their footsteps. I received a calling to come here. I knew not what for, but I am sure the answer is in this holocron. I shall share its contents with you if you will share the coordinates of this vessel with me."
Velina and Huff nodded and agreed to Jarn's terms. He placed the holocron on the console and turned it on. A cloaked figure dressed much like Jarn appeared as a blue outline just above the disc. It was a young man with a look of wisdom beyond his years on his face, and he said, "If you are seeing this, you have heeded the call of the Force, and you are deeply needed. The Jedi Order is at risk and may disappear altogether, but there are those of you who have the Force flowing through you who are the best hope to bring back the values we have defended for more than 1,000 generations. There are likely no more Jedi remaining to train you, but you must persist. Within this holocron is information that will be helpful to you in learning to train your skills. Also included are the methods by which to build your own lightsaber, the weapon of a true Jedi Knight. You will find all the parts needed to build the lightsaber on this vessel, except the piece needed for the heart of the weapon, the Kyber Crystal. Those you will have to find by backtracking my path, and I leave that to you to solve. You are the greatest hope for this galaxy. Use your responsibilities wisely, and may the Force be with you." Near the end of the holo recording, they could hear laser fire in the background. Something was happening where the Jedi Master had been recording, a sign of how dire the situation was when he recorded. They all felt the weight of what had been laid upon them. More data was stored inside the holocron, the information the Jedi Master had promised. They downloaded the information onto both ships and looked it over. There were methods of training and meditation to hone the skills they had begun, and there were instructions on building a lightsaber. Vresh knew where each piece was that they needed, and he brought them up to the bridge for everyone. They each grabbed pieces to create flourishes on their own lightsabers to personalize them. As they did this, the two crews got to know each other, and the droid entered the coordinates into the warrior's prayer so Jarn and Rez would know where to go. And so the two vessels carrying the Force wielders left the consular ship behind. They entered the coordinates into their navicomputers and faced themselves in the correct direction. Then they launched into the unknown. This has been an RPG Storytime presentation of Age of Rebellion. Join us next week to hear what happens next. If you'd like to see a visualization of this episode, check out our YouTube channel. The link is in the description. If you'd like to see other things written by the author of this show, you can also find that in the description. Happy gaming, everybody!